Okay, so we're about to begin a new sugya, and Dr. Malf of the Vase, the guys continuing along the lines of Shlichos, and trying to find for us a source for the principle of Shlichos. So we succeeded at the bottom of the Malf of the Aleph, we found the series of Shukim, concerning Gittin and Kedushin and Shulchos, etc., the Matapeh, that Matapeh, with the Bars, whatever the Drachas are. The bottom line is that there is a principle of Shlichos both for Gershon as well as for Kedushin. And then the Gemara wanted to know, what about other areas of Allah? So we've identified that there is also a principle of shlichos by truma that we know. We spoke about it at great length. We spoke last week about the strange case of shlichos, where the shliach does what he wasn't supposed to do exactly. But the basic principle of shlichos plays out with truma, that's for sure. The Gemara wants to know the time of Malfa Beis, where does that come from? So Manolim, the Gemara says the second line, Bechitem Diyalf Begevishim. Maybe we could derive it from Gevishim. We have a principle of halacha from the Matzino. We can derive one area of halacha from another. Maybe Shluch Shon Kemoso was taught us originally by Get, and then we can extrapolate the Truma. What says, no, not so fast. Malagayashish Ken Yesh Nam Chol. So we have a rule that whenever we compare, want to learn out A from B, we have to make sure that B doesn't have a certain characteristic that's going to make it impossible to learn A. So let's say, for example, over here, the fact that the Torah lets us get away with this principle of Shluch Shon Kemoso, it's really a very cheap way of doing things. You don't have to do it yourself. You can have somebody else do it. That's a very, very big kula. So maybe that's only true by get. Because get is not dvarim shel kedusha, whereas truma is already in the realm of kedusha. Truma is not quite kachim. It's not on the same level as the korban. But it's definitely some degree of kedusha to it. So maybe the standards for kedusha are a little bit higher. So that would not be a valid derivation. So you have to come up with an independent source for truma as well. What is that independent source? The Torah uses the extra word gam. It's not really necessary. The word gam comes to teach us that even a shaliach would be acceptable. So now the Gemara turns around and says, once we've derived there's a principle of shlichos by truma, so now let's turn the question on its head. Why don't we say, well, if by truma there's a principle of shlichos, even though truma is a little bit of what? A little bit of kodesh, it's a little bit holy, and usually the standards would have been higher, and af al pichein, the Torah lets us get away with this halach of shlichos. So for certain, we could derive for gemishim, for kedushin, etc. So God says, no, not so fast. The truma has something, has a certain leniency going for it, that gemishim and kedushin don't have. And maybe it's that kula that we can attribute the kula of shlichos for. So at the end of the day, shlichos is a kula. There's no question about that. Shlichos is unbelievable kula. The starting point should have been, you have to do it yourself. You have to delegate it to others. You have to do it yourself. It comes the Torah's mechadish to us as a parish of shlichos by gerushin. And the Torah's mechadish to us as a parish of shlichos by truma. Why do I need it by both? Because the answer is, I would have had it by gerushin. I would have thought, well, truma maybe is not subject to shlichos because it's more kadosh. If I would have only had it by truma, I would have said, well, maybe get doesn't happen because truma can do something that get can't do. And what is that characteristic of truma that makes it so lenient? It's easy, it's a cinch. I mean, anybody can be machish truma, can yesh them be machshava. So that really sets the stage for the next sugya that we have. This notion of sheken yesh them be machshava seems to be a double portion. It doesn't even raise the question where this comes from. It seems to be a double portion that Truma is Nita Nitalis from Machshava. It doesn't seem to be anybody that argues with this. There's a Tosas that raises a red flag about this. There's the end of the Mamakamas. Maybe somebody argues with this. But the Pasha Dvarim is that Truma is very much Nitalis from Machshava. How do we know Truma is Nitalis from Machshava? So here, Rashi references the Gemara in other places where the Gemara points out the Pasha Venechshav Lachem Chumaschem. Venechshav is the Lashon Machshava teaching me that Truma is in fact Nitalis from Machshava. So we have one thing to define today, and that is what exactly this word machshava means. Because let's not forget, this is the term, this is the principle, this is the characteristic that is preventing us from deriving anything from truma to other areas of halacha. It's this principle, the talis machshava, that is necessitated with additional pasuk, only because of this svar, the most of this svar, that's machshava, that the Torah went out of its way to tell us b'shilcha, b'shila, b'shilcha, gadget from the mouth of an aleph. Because of the truth of this statement to be announced by Shabbos, so it would behoove us to understand what in the world these words mean. So if you were just reading the Gemara, you were saying it, if you had been quickly touching up the sugya, and you were translating the word Machshava, what would you say Machshava means?
Thought.
You would say what?
Thought.
Thought, right?
Good. Pretty much up. Now, you have no idea what I was thinking about. I've been thinking about a lot of things, but much up. Yeah, it's not for sure, much up. So Rashi in one place says that. Rashi must have the Choros, where they're thinking about two and tells Mashal appears in a little bit different context. So Rashi quotes that interpretation, and the truth is that's probably the more popular of the interpretations in the Rishonim. But Rashi goes out on a limb and quotes another pshat also. Rashi says, and maybe Machshava doesn't really mean Machshava. Maybe Machshava means, in contrast to a Maisa, there is something in between Machshava and Maisa, and that is Dibur. Maybe when the Gemara means Machshava, Machshava. How do you think that Machshava? Machshava is in the fleeting recess of your brain, and that doesn't mean anything in Halacha. When can you create status changes in Machshava? Machshava means the Dibur. Why is the Gemara called Machshava? Because it's not a Maisa. In contrast to Maisa, it's called Machshava. Now, the truth to be told, either one of the Pshat and Rashi would fit into our sugya. Because for the purpose of our sugya, all we're trying to highlight is that Truma has a certain leniency to it that Dibur and Kedushin don't have. Call it Machshava, call it Dibur, call it whatever you want. None of that is going to help for Kedushin. Achos and the Kala stand under the Chuppah together, and each one is having a lot of Kavan, each one she's not in Kodesh. Or he's about to hand her a get, and he's thinking to himself, nothing happens. Or even if he says something. Dibur doesn't work either. Dibur can't create neither tradition nor gerushin. So for the purpose of that sugya, either pshat and Rashi is a viable pshat. So the question is, which is the correct pshat? Is there reason to believe that one of the pshat and Rashi is very difficult? So Tosfos in Masechet Bechoros takes issue with Rashi's pshat, with the less popular pshat in the Rishonim, that the word machshava actually equals Dibur. And Tosfos tries to show you from other cases in Shas why this is not the case. Tosfos shows you specifically from Hilchos Trumos. Tosfos takes a little trip through Masechus Trumos and sorted sugyas to try to show you that it would appear from the Gemara that this is not true. That there is no such halacha that you require Dibur in order to be Mafish Trumos. So one Mishnah that Tosfos makes reference to is the beginning of Masechus Trumos, but the Mishnah lists off a whole series of individuals who should not be encouraged to be mafresh truma. We would not want these people to be mafresh truma for us. One of the people on the list is an elaim. Elaim is somebody who cannot speak. Now, just because a person cannot speak, that may or may not mean he's a bardas. Depends what else he can't do. So there's what we call a cheirish, or what's called an elaim. A cheirish is someone who cannot speak and cannot hear. So in the olden days, for sure that person was a la bardas. Whether that's changed, who's about to say, that's a whole other story. But at least Bizman Chazal for sure, a Cheirish and Eidim Adam Vene Shemeya is considered to be a La Bardas. And not only is it not even in the ballpark from Mafish Truma, he can't do anything. I mean, HaTorah, he's Zicha, can't do anything, he's a La Bardas. The Chalakot and the Cheirish and the Chalakot are always lumped together. But we're not talking about him, we're talking about an Eidim, we're talking about a fellow who can hear, so he has some degree of understanding, but he can't speak for whatever reason. Born that way, or some other, or something happened to him. The Maisi can't speak, he can't be Maisi Lipiv. So the Mishnah says, we would not recommend that such a person be mafresh truma on our behalf. Why not? What's the problem? If he's a bardas, what's our hesitation? So the Rishalmi fills in what the Mishnah doesn't say. The Rishalmi explains that the reason why we would not encourage him to be the mafresh of the truma is because he won't be able to recite a bracha. Before we were mafresh truma, we recite a bracha. Shekin Dishan, it doesn't mafresh truma. So to do a mitzvah lechatchila without a bracha is not right. B'di'evet brachas enam atif. Let's say a person puts on film this morning, didn't make a bracha, he's still yaitzeh. Person hears a show, didn't make a bracha, he's still yaitzeh. A person counts the sviyah without, he's still yaitzeh. That's b'di'evet, but lechatchila, it's a mitzvah b'di rabbanim to recite brachas before you perform a mitzvah. We spoke a lot about that in the early shiur already. So here, when it comes to Farshas Truma, if I have a fellow who's an Elim in front of me, why should he be the Mafreshas Truma? He's going to do that Farsh in a way that's going to be lacking the bracha. So he's not going to fulfill the entire process, Kitikuna, on a level of Lechatchila. So therefore, the Mishnah says we should shy away from having him be Mafresh. What does the Mishnah conclude? Elim lo Yidron, in Torah. What does it say? Chumas and Truma. The Truma is valid. So comes tells the Mishnah, he said, hold the phone. According to Rashi Shita, that you require Dibur, at least Dibur, to be Mafresh Truma, how in the world is the Elaim going to be Mafresh to Truma? So Bishlama says Tosis, if you say like Rashi's other pshat, that Machshava means thought, then an Elaim in terms of the Truma proper is okay. The Bracha, that's a tangential problem. We're not going to encourage the Chetchila from to be Mafresh, but the Ikra is okay.
because he's a bar das, and you don't really need dibur. He can be choshev. That's not a problem. But according to Rashi, sechum shad b'chayrus, that you have to be able to speak. But why does the Mishnah say b'diavad is good? Why does the Yerushalmi chapter on the bracha that the din should be is it should be no good from b'diavad? Because when Maisi can't speak, he can't, doesn't have the ability, doesn't have the kachas to be mafresh because you require it to be dibur. So what's the answer to shittas Rashi?
Rashi is giving things that you're doing
without a maestro. Oh, right. Oh, very good. Excellent. So the Pasha Sadvarim is that the answer to Tazos Kasha is that the Kasha is even on the ground. There are two different ways to be Mahafish Truma. The real way to be Mahafish Truma is I did Maisa. That's what the Torah, that's the real model of a Freshest Truma. Then, by the way, the Torah says, just in case you didn't get around doing a Maisa, the Nechshav Becham Trumasa. There's another way, it's an alternate way of being Mahafish Truma, and that's Ayadei Machshava, quote unquote. What that alternate way is, what the definition of machshava is, I'm not like it's 2 days in Rashi, very nice. But the 2 days in Rashi do not impact upon the first method. The first method, the starting point that a fresh is true before the pasuk of a nechshav, and maybe one time I may even deny that meaning of that word, v'nechshav, possibly, without the gzeres hakasav of machshava, how do you mafish truma? By being mafish truma, finish, by separating truma, but that's how you separate, that's how you mafish truma. So that was never a discussion when you're mafresh truma day maisa whether you require dibur to accompany the hafrash. What did you do before? Eimachal maisa fresh truma doesn't. That wasn't the question. The chiddush of Rashi was that imtum seloimer, you're not going down the route of maisa. You want to go down the chiddush of teruv machshava. Then we can begin to negotiate. Then we can discuss what is machshava. Machshava dibur machshava is machshava machshava mafresh. So the chora one can answer Tosas kasha fairly soon. So Taisa doesn't give up with it. Taisa goes for it. Taisa says, let's take a look at a Gemara in Masechah Shavuos, Tafchavav and Beis, and see how that Gemara sheds some light on Shittas Rashi. So the context of that Gemara is not really true, but the context of that Gemara is actually talking about taking a Shavuot. We know that there's a Parsha in the Torah, a Parsha Shavuot, and a Parsha in the Torah, a Parsha Shavuos. A person could say that he doesn't want to eat bread today. Person will take a shvua, he's going to do something, he's not going to do something, etc. There is a difference between a shvua and a neder. Shvua and a neder, some people get a little bit confused. It sounds like, well, he's not going to eat the bread, he's not going to eat the bread. What's the difference? The famous Gemara in Masechet Nedarim, the days, this is the most brisk of all Gemaras. What do you think I'm saying? This is where the Gemara explains the difference between Nisagav and Nisachetza. Some people think that Reb Chaim made that up. Reb Chaim popularized it, but the Gemara says the Farish and the Beis and Masechet Nedarim that there are two different mechanisms of how to create an Israel Atzmai. Most of these Surim exist because the Barshalom said it. The Barshalom said you can't eat Chaz, the Barshalom said you can't wear Shatnez, the Barshalom said you can't do Machan Shabbos. But the Torah also gives an individual the ability to create a Surim Al Atzmai. That's in Parshas Matos Lo Yachol Devara. If a person decides to ask for something on himself, he has the authority to do so, either through the vehicle of Nedar, or through the vehicle of Shavuos. The Torah says, Ish ki yidar ned l'Hashem u'shav u'shavu. What's the difference between Nedar and Shavuos? So the Gemara Nedar Davez explains that a Nedar means that he asks the object on himself. He says that this bread should be also to me. This piece of meat should be also to me. But the Shavuah is, the person himself says, he won't eat the bread. He won't eat the meat. Now, it sounds like semantics. You're right. All the dharma, semantics. You're right. It's a difference in lashon, but it conjures up a very, very different image, and there are many, many, many different halachas. The whole first two problems of sex, the dharma, talk about what are the differences between if a person uses a lashon ned and a lashon shvua. There are very real differences. So the one thing the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shavuos, a Shmuel, that Gama Beliba Tzach Laitzi B'Svasav, that if a person is taking a Shavua, Shmuel happens to be talking about Shavua explicitly, but the Rishonim explained that it applied equally to the Nedarim, though Shmuel wasn't talking specifically about it, but we assume it's all the same. A Shmuel, Gama Beliba Tzach Laitzi B'Svasav, that if a person wants to take a Shavua, it's not enough for him just to think it out. He has to be Laitzi B'Svasav, he has to express, he has to articulate it verbally. How do you know that? What's the Chumash? It says the Chumash Yivati Adam B'Shavu. The Torah says explicitly in Parshas Vayikra. Here the Gemara is talking, the pasuk is talking about the ramifications of violating a Shavua. The person takes a Shavua, now he's bound by the Shavua, and if he violates the Shavua, so depending on how he violated it, B'Shagi, B'Shagi, whatever, different types of Shavuas, so he may have to actually bring a Korban Chatas for the violation of the Shavua. Shavua's Bitur, it's called. So in the context of that Parshas, Shavua's Bitur, the Torah says, L'chol L'batevis Vasayim. The Torah speaks about articulating, spelling it out, expressing it with one's lips, literally to say the words. So, Amashmuel, go and believe us, actually, it's in this. So, So the Gemara says, really, is that true? Can't believe yourself, she hates it. Really? That seems to be true. There seem to be other areas of halacha where that's in fact not the case. So the Gemara says, you're right. There are a couple of examples here and there which are very similar to Shavua, in the sense of that a person is making a chalavis, and after behind the Torah does accept the chalos to be done. So that din of Levati B'Spasayim is limited to Shavuos. It carries over to the Nedarim, it carries over to Nazirus, etc. But there are two areas of Halacha where it doesn't carry over to. There are two Gezeiros HaKosos where it doesn't carry over to. And what are the two Gezeiros HaKosos? What does the Gemara say? Truma and Kachim. The Gemara says, Beferish and Shavuos, that Truma and Kachim are exceptions to this rule. They're not bound by the limitation of Bisvasayim. These types of chaloisim can be chal even v'machshava. And the question is, what are these cases? And how do you know that this is true? So kachim is pretty straightforward. Kachim means, I think it's totally straightforward, maybe some question is, but fashion as far as it is, it means a person wants to be machdish a carbon to the base of Mikdash. I have an animal, I'm looking around in my backyard, I see a few animals there, and I decide in my heart, oh, that's a good animal, so I'm going to bring that as carbon oil tomorrow. So the Gemara says that's binding. Sharon quote a pasuk, and you know that's true. That's mamish binding lahalacha. Even though normally, when I want to volunteer something in the sense of volunteering an iser, I want to create a nedir or shvu. I have to mevati b'svasayim. When it comes to a kochim, I don't have to. That's fine. Then the Gemara references another type of an exception to the rule, and that is truma. So the verse is once again truma. Truma is not b'svasayim. Truma is in contrast to shvua. Truma suffices with machshava. So the question is, well, what does that mean? What do the words truma mean? So Tosfos on the spot says, I'll tell you exactly what truma means. Truma means how fresh is truma that we know. And the grain grew in Eretz Yisrael, my wine, my olives, etc. grows in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm mafresh truma, I'm going to give it to the kohen next week. That is the truma that the Gemara is talking about. And what is the source that they tell us from machshava? We know. So it comes to us and says, if the Gemara in Shavuos al Chavav is comparing and contrasting Shavuos to Truma, Shavuos requires Svasayim. And Truma doesn't require Svasayim, it's the details of Machshava. So it's obvious that the Machshava that the Gemara is talking about is obviously not synonymous with Dibur. That would be very silly. Because if Machshava vis-a-vis Truma means Dibur, then there is no difference between Truma and Shavuos, and that's the whole point of the Gemara. The whole thrust of the Gemara is to show us that whereas Shavua requires Dibur, Truma can get away with just Machshava. So obviously Rashi's pshat is not correct. So what would Rashi respond to this? How would Rashi respond back to Tosfos? What did Rashi say? Oh, so Rashi, if you take a look at Masechta Shavua, this is the obvious answer. Rashi Masechta Shavua says that Tosfos didn't understand properly what the word Truma means. Truma doesn't even refer to Truma of grain. That's not even the topic. Truma refers to Truma Samishkan. What does Truma Samishkan mean? It means different gifts that you're giving towards the construction of the Mishkan. As it says, Nediv Libo, the Torah speaks about Hashayid Venu Libo, the Torah speaks about Machshava. Bein is a chiddush that you can be machtish something to the Mishkan, the base of Mikdash, Belev. Now, I don't understand. Why is that different from Kochim? We're looking for two different categories. Remember, the goal of the Gemara is to show you that Shavuos and Nedarim and Nazirus, all those things require Dibur. But there are two things out there that don't require Dibur. What are the two things that require Dibur? Truma and Kachim. So what are they? So Bishlama, according to Tosfos, Kachim is a Korban, and Truma is Truma Lakayim, regular Truma. So we understand these are two different categories. But according to Rashi's Pshat, the Truma doesn't mean Lakayim, Truma means the Mishkan. Can someone please tell me what is the difference between the Mishkan and the Korban? What's the answer? Rashi back in the Chavos is talking about the mafresh truma, the double tier shvi, it's a grain. So Rashi shita may be that when you mafresh truma grain, you require dibur. When you mafresh truma tamishkan, then not truma is good enough. Okay?
But he says that one way to do it is you can be noticing in a bit of zeb. So this Gemara saying that one thing that can be done with mafreshava is truma tamishkan and kachem.
No, so you're not. They're two different things in Rashi, right? One opinion in Rashi is the same as Tosfos. We're now trying to explain the other opinion of Rashi. The two different opinions of Rashi.
Rashi would say that this Gemara could also talk about Radio Shuma too, like what's supposed to
say. Yeah, according to the other day in Rashi, of course that would be Rashi, but the other day in Rashi, it's not the two places. Sure. Okay, so again, we're focusing, we're zeroing in
on the opinion of Rashi that says machshava requires is dibur. So for frashas truma lekayin requires dibur. Rashi somehow says that the truma of shavuos nafavav is lamishkan. So what do I need two pesukim for? It's the same thing. Dasam given to the base of mikdash and dasam given to the base of mikdash. It's pshat in Rashi. No one thought about that.
Why is it necessarily kosher? Just because it's like this, maybe there's a different thing about Krubanus and Mishkan.
So what would he mean? But you should tell me. That's a wonderful book.
I don't know. Like, I understand they're both going to the base of English. Why is that necessarily the same thing? Maybe you need a blessing for both.
So, but what is the difference? Because let's put just a halakhic category on it. It's obviously right. I was wondering about halakhic terminology.
When there's Mizbeach and Benek Abayah.
What does it? The two different types. Give you a base of English. One is a kosher Mizbeach. Kosh Mizbech is somebody's going to go on to the Mizbech itself, a carbon, an animal, and then there's Kosh Bede Gavayis. Kosh Bede Gavayis is going to go to the upkeep, the structure of the basic Mikdash. The Dinim of the Gavayis are different. They're both Hektish, that's true. So once I give a gift to the basic Mikdash, I'm not allowed to use it. If I'm Nene from a carbon, I'm Chayav Me'ila. If I'm Nene from Kosh Bede Gavayis, I'm Chayav Me'ila. There are similarities between the two, but there are many, many differences as well. But one could have conceived that just because one of them is Chav Machshava doesn't necessarily mean the other one is Chav Machshava. So Kamash Balan says Rashi and Shavuos, both Psukim. And the Torah tells us that any type of a gift towards Mikdash oriented, either Kachi Bizbech, Kachi Berkabais, either one, is going to be Chav and Machshava. But Truma? There's no Gemara, says Rashi and Shavuos Dav Chavo. Never was such a Gemara. What is the din? I don't know. Look what I wrote in Bechor. That's figured out what Machshava means. So Baruch Hashem, even though Tosfos had two very, very strong attacks, and they thought were strong attacks against Rashi, we weren't as concerned because we answered up the first Tosfos Kasha from the Yerushalmi with the Elam, the whole story, by saying the Hafrash was done Dech Maisa. It was done Dech Maisa for sure, you don't need Dibur. That was never even on the radar screen. And the second Kasha from the Baruch Shavuos, Rashi himself solved by reinterpreting that Gemara, and again, it's not a problem. Once comes to Rebbeinu Gmaya, it's Mizbech, etc. So Rashi sheet is still standing. Yeah, I didn't say it's the popular sheet in Rishonim. But Rashi is still a viable sheet. So where would you go next in the sugya? So we just exhausted the two sugyas about Truma. And we didn't come up with any absolute convincing argument. How would you begin to tackle this issue? We have this word Machshava, and we're not quite sure what the word Machshava means. We're thinking whether it means literally b'moyach over there. I'm not sure what it means. So where would you go next? So truma's over. Truma with the meisim of the second truma. Where would you go next? A good place to look would probably be to other areas of halacha to see the lashon that Chazal use, other pesukim that also point to this chiddush hatayr of machshava. Maybe we could derive from other areas of halacha what the din would be. So where do we go? So one place we would go would be a sugya. I don't think I put this part on the memo comments. Hopefully we'll get to it a little bit later on, depending how long we have to warm and stuff. So we'll see. But there is a sugya a little bit later on, the Beis, about a parasha in the Torah called Shlichus Yad. So Chal Pesach, what does Shlichus Yad mean? I give you what? I give you a pigeon to watch, and then you and the shaman go ahead and use it. So you're supposed to be watching in this car, not supposed to be driving. You take it around the block for a spin. So you become a shalech yad pigeon. So now you become chayav in anything and everything that happens to this car. So it used to be a shalech chinam. Now you're the worst. You're a mamash chayav al chol dover. Okay, you're basically like a gaslan. Shalech yad pigeon. So the Gemara, the Mishnah quotes a machlokes between Beishami and Beisilel. What if a person wasn't mamash shalech yad pigeon? They didn't literally take it for a spin, but they were planning on taking it. They're really, really excited, guys, you know, getting all ready and rear to go. He's looking for his driver's license, he's looking for his glasses, and he's getting all ready to roll, take his car out, and then you know what happens? And the car gets struck by lightning. And he wants to know, what's the din? So Bezin wants to know, what happened to this guy? Is he a shalech yad pikadon or not? So Bishami has a gevalad gechid. Bishami says, achay shiv yad pikadon, chayav. The minute that he plans a doing shalech yad, he becomes a shalech yad pikadon, and he's going to be chayav. How in the world did Bisham know this? A special pasuk. They dash a pasuk, a kol dvar, etc. The chayv al machshava kimaisa. And they still responded to them, lo hayu dvar miyadim. That's not what Akhor Bapesha means. I hope it isn't true. There is no din of machshava kimaisa. So it's very, very hard for us to find anyone to really discuss this issue because we don't pass like Bisham, we pass like Bisham. So the whole issue for us is a moot issue.
But we're going to do it anyway. Not the first, not the last Mudish that we're going to pick up on. We can perhaps derive something from Shittas Beis Shammai that is going to shed some light on us. Because again, what we're really looking for is definitions. We're really trying to figure out what the term Machshava means. Again, we're interested in Hilchos Truma, but we're trying to derive something from Hilchos Shluchos Yad. So what did Beis Shammai mean when they said what they said? So you can take a look actually on Daf and Beis and Beis. Take a look towards the bottom of the base the Sanya. About 10 lines or so from the bottom. The first one is he. The Sanya called Dvar Pesha, the Shamir Machayav al Machshav Kemaisa. So, what in the world does that mean? Lechayav al Machshav? Let's take a look at Rashi. Lechayav al Machshav. Oy al Hadibur. Rashi says, Machshav means either you thought it, or you said it. Shim Omar Achash of the Shlach Yad Pikadon. Rabbi Shusam Eosa Shava Eilach Lechai Bechal Onzin Shalaboy. A few love Shem Achinim Shlohay Achav and Achav Rabbi Shia. So even though he was only a Shem Achinim till now, once he either does the Chusyad or the Shabbos Chiddush that he is Chayshim the Shlach Yad is sufficient to make him Chai Bechal Dover. So here Rashi explains Machshava can mean either literally Machshava or it can mean Dibor. We take a look at the Bach, the little letter Dal on the side. There Rashi says, no, that doesn't mean machshava. It means dibur. Can't mean anything else but dibur.
Just maybe the motivation for Rashi is, how else, if it's just machshava, then how else would he ever have a case where someone was chayav, according to Beis Shammai, of shliach yad machshava? How would anyone know?
Oh, okay, very good. Moshe is asking the question. Moshe is saying that, wait a second. Maybe we can't mix and match the words machshava. Maybe the word machshava in Shlichus Yad may have to mean dibur for pure technical reasons. I mean, how in the world does anyone ever know? How are you going to bring out a base then? The thought police are going to bring him to and say, we read your mind. We know you want to be Shlich Yad to come. Maybe that's the reason it was prompting Rashi. Maybe it's possible. But again, just taking the word machshava, we already see that Rashi here is dancing around. And Rashi is walking tightrope and saying, well, what's this machshava? Is machshava mamish machshava? Maybe. Is machshava all dibur? Rashi and Bava Metzia says it's only dibur, so it's unclear what the word machshava means. So again, it's hard to find out too much about this topic, because any discussion is only going to be within the sheet that we don't paskish. So we're going to be limited in our research. You're not going to look at Shulchan Aruch, look at Pikadon, and try to find out what the answer to the machshava issue is, unless you're looking at Beis Shammai Shulchan Aruch. So it's going to be harder for us to find. So let's get a little bit closer to home. Closer to home, but closer to something that at least we would paskish like the halacha. And let's see, where else do we find in halacha there's a major issue concerning machshava? Where else does machshava play a major role in halacha? So not the whole area of halacha, machshava plays a critical role.
Yes.
And what?
In Karban Pesach?
In Karbanos in general. Okay, general, little kachim 101. So what is the role of machshava vis-a-vis Karbanos? So the very first thing is, the first Mishnayis, the very beginning of Masech Mizvachim, first, a lot of about machshava and kashim. So basically, there are four different types of machshavas concerning kashim. There are four different types of things, and I'm not defining it machshava. I didn't say yet whether I'm thinking or whether I'm talking. There are four different ways that a machshava, whatever machshava means, could potentially impact on a carbon in a negative way. Any idea what I'm talking about? What are the four different kinds of machshavas of kashim?
Pigle.
So the absolute worst of the worst is Machshavas Pigle. So what is Machshavas Pigle? Just a quick Kazara. What is Machshavas Pigle?
Outside, what?
What do I do?
When the Kohen's shuffling it, he thinks it's a shlomim. He's having a mind that it's a shlomim, but it's really a chatas.
Okay, so Pigle means as follows. There are four different stages in the Avodas HaKorban where Machshavas Pigle could potentially can have an impact on. Back to the ABCs. What are the four that we call the Dal Avodah Sadam? So one of them is
Shechita.
Kabbalah Sadam, because getting the Dam out. Kabbalah Sadam is the Dam being received in a Kli Sharis. Halacha Sadam is bringing it to the Mizbech. And Shechita Sadam is throwing it on the Mizbech. Those are the Dal Avodah Sadam. Just by the way, just a parallel. Anyone know in terms of a Korban Mincha what the four parallel Avodahs are? There's no Dam in a Korban Mincha, but a Korban Mincha also has four different Avodahs. Everyone knows what they are?
So what is shechita? Shechita is basically getting the dam out of the animal. That's the goal, shechita. So, and the dam is going to go on the mizbech. So if you had to really summarize what the goal of shechita is vis-a-vis avodas adam, it's the extracting of the davar hakarav gavi mizbech from the rest, which is exactly what is accomplished by, you said correctly, by kmitza. Kmitza to a mincha, when the kohen goes in there and he puts his hands and he takes a handful out of the flour. So that's exactly what he's doing, because the kohen is going to go on the mizbech. The rest of the flour is going to actually be eaten by the kohanim. So that's exactly what you do when you have a korban, that I'm extracting the davra korva gabi mizbech, the dam, from the rest of the korban. So kmitza to a mincha is like shechita to dam. So that's the first avodah by mincha. What will be the next avodah? What's the title avodah to kabbalah sadam? Well, the kmitza, the kmitz, is the dam. And what does kabbalah sadam mean? The dam goes into where? Goes into a bowl, goes into klisharis. It's exactly what happens to the kmitz as well. After you finish doing kmitza, you have to take that kmitz and put it into a klisharis. So even though the original mincha was always in a klisharis, you have to do a second, it's called a second kiddush b'klisharis. You take the kmitz and you put it into a klisharis. That's the halacha equivalent of the kabbalah sadam. And then, what's the halacha equivalent of halacha sadam? That's an easy one. Halacha kmitz, right? Bringing that, gosh, there's this whole mincha where you take the whole kmitz and you malach the kmitz to the mizbech. And what's the equivalent to the zrika sadam? What? Putting the kmitz, agavi ha'ishim, putting it on the fire, putting it on the mizbech itself. So we have da'od avodes ha'dam for a korban, we have da'od avodes ha'kmitz for a mincha, and the Mishnayos, both Mizrachim and Rambam, tell us that machshavas pigul can take effect at any one of those four stages. What machshavas pigul is that the person is choshev, either thinking or talking when he gets to that point, yeah? He's having a machshava that he's going to do something to this korban chutz l'zmanoi. Now, normally there are two parts of a korban. But most korbanos have part of it is eaten and part of it is offered on gavi mizbech. If a person does any one of these avodas with the intent of doing that achila, either achilas adam or achilas mizbech, chutz l'zmanoi, that becomes a pigul. And at the point it becomes a pigul, it becomes also to eat right away. It's absolutely possible for the pigul. And if you eat it, you chayav what? Chayav kamas. Again, that's a psuk in Pesach. It's a whole tash b'afeh. That's the bottom line. So pigul is basically avodas chutz l'zmanoi. Then you have a whole nother type of machshava. It's very similar to pigul. It's not chutz l'zmanoi, but it's chutz l'mkoymoi. So a guy has in mind that he's going to eat the korban in a place where he's not supposed to. He's going to be makir the emurim, the chayil, whatever, in a place he's not supposed to. That's chutz l'mkoymoi. So that also disqualifies the korban, but only to the extent of it being posel, not pigul. Men of gemino with posel, not pigul. If you eat it, you're not chayav koras. Okay, that's the whole difference. It's also posel in a Torah, you're not yet to the korban, start over again. But the person who eats it is only chayav malchus, not chayav koras. So these two, psul and pigul and posel, are applied to all korbanos. Then you have more localized psulim, other kinds of machshavas, and only apply to very specific korbanos. So one of them is the psul of shalom l'shma. If a person does an avoda shalom l'shma, but does an avoda sakorim shalom l'shma, so that can potentially disqualify the korban. Now, I said potentially why? Because this
halacha doesn't disqualify.
Halacha is a tricky one. But what do I mean it can potentially disqualify the korban, depending on what type of korban it is? So there are only two korbanos that in machshava shalom l'shma mamash moves the korban. Do you know what they are? First mishnah in the seventh tochim korbeis ana the korban chalas. Okay. So the opening mishnah of zvachim is kol zvachim shenisbu shalom l'shma ksheros elish la'ol abayim l'shem chayva chutz bin achatas for pesach mizmana. Okay. If I shech the korban ol shalom toid etc. shalom l'shma, the korban is kosher. I wasn't yotze my mitzvah, namely, but I took a nadav to bring a korban, I have to bring another one. I wasn't yotze my shiur, but in terms of the kashas of the korban is kosher, with the exception of the chatas and the korban pesach. Okay, but so this psul is only bechatas. Okay, so, and then there's a fourth machshava. What's that? It's shaloi l'ochlin, that I shech the korban, having in mind I'm going to feed the meat of the korban to someone who's not supposed to be eating this korban. So this din of Shlomo Ochlin is limited only to what? Only to korban Pesach. Okay? Look down from Sukkim, the Sukkim is in the Masechet Tzachon, the fifth parak. Only korban Pesach has a psul to it of Shlomo Ochlin. And there's a quirk that the psul of Shlomo Ochlin for korban Pesach only applies if I have Machshavas Kol Ochlin, namely, I shecht the korban Pesach, hini mucham zuman, I'm going to feed this entire korban Pesach to the whole group of arelim. We're not supposed to be eating it. Or I'm going to feed it all to these tameim. We're not supposed to be eating it. Or I'm going to feed it all to these people who weren't signed up. It's called shalom menuyim. Not supposed to be eating it. But the Gemara says, we learn that from Pesachim and Rezach Pesachim, mitzas eichlen lo pasal, that if I shecht the korban Pesach, having in mind, I'm going to feed it this part of the meat to the arelim, part to the bulim, part of the tzvei, part of the tayrim, then the korban is no kosher. Okay, so again, these are all dinum derais, all derived from sukkim, all tosh b'tzav, tosh b'peh, mitzvah eichel nafas. So why did I give you this whole introduction? Because you should know a little bit about korbanos. That's number one. But number two, it's this halacha that becomes the pivotal topic for the rest of the shiur. Shalol eichel. And let's not forget those two principles I just told you. If I shech the korban Pesach, and in its entirety I plan on feeding it to people who shouldn't be eating it, that's going to be a problem. If I plan on feeding it partially to people who are going to eat it, partially to people who are not supposed to be eating it, that would still be okay. Make this item like possible. The Gemara quotes are very complicated. Machloek is in the name of the Rabbanan, touched on a lot of issues in Halacha, about the following. The person shechts to come to Pesach, and he has in mind that he's going to feed the Korban Pesach to a lot of people. A lot of people he's inviting to join up, sign up for the Korban Pesach. Some of them have had a bris milah, and some of them haven't had a bris milah. So that's his mindset. And then when he gets to the magic time, he says, "Here he comes in the Shem, the Korban Pesach, the Shem." What does he say? All the Arelim, and he shouts. I say Arelim. I meant to say Mula, not Arelim. If he would have said what he was supposed to have said, what he was planning on saying, that would have been fine. Mix us around the false story, great. But Lamaisa, if you just listened to what he said, if you watched the video, all you heard him say was, never a limit itself to this cover base was fossil. So what is this snap of? What do you think this maps of? What do you think? What kind of a shayla is this even related to? It's not even a kachim shayla, really. This is not even a machshav shayla. This is a. He was planning on saying both. And he goofed and he said one, and now 10 minutes later when he's watching the video, he said, "Oh my goodness gracious, I said the wrong thing." That's almost like a lot. One magic word. This is a toast. What does it say? This is like a mech toast. This is like a guy who was Bukash Shemisha, because he thought he's Bukash Rach and Bukash Shemisha. He said the wrong thing. A guy took a nev, he wants to ask himself not to eat meat, he ends up saying he's not going to drink wine. That's a mistake here. So that's what the Gemara talks about, what's called Pivalibo Shabbat. There's a discrepancy in between what he's thinking and what he's saying. And that's very often a problem in Halacha. So we're not learning Pesachim right now. We're not going to get into the intricacies of that. We're just going to take the Gemara face value. The Gemara puts one opinion that says that yeah, we still have a problem. Even though there seems to have been a little bit of a mistake, a little bit of a confusion here, but we may still have to pass on this sort of it. Because you can't hide behind Mitzvahs Ochel L'Poslo. Because after all, Lamaisa, he was Motzi B'Piv, only La Arela. I kind of get Marcha. Comes to on the spot and says, what everybody say? What is happening in front of this Gemara?
It goes by Amira.
It's proof that it's about Dibor, not
about Marcha. Oh, so comes to and says, this Gemara is positive that we couldn't kill us for this Marcha. Marcha is not the Kimea. When the Torah said, all these Dibor, Marcha, the Shaitis, and so the Lord Yechoshes, Marcha, obviously the word Marcha doesn't mean literally machshava. The word machshava meant machshava, and the halacha really takes into consideration bein mekula bein mekumra what he was thinking, not what he was saying. So then this should be perfectly okay, because this was not mitzvah zayichlin. This was what? This was adapt. This was not. Sorry about that. See what's called ein pivul machshava. This was not kulo shalol yachlo. This was mitzvah zayichlin, because if you follow what's in his mind and you're reading the inside of his brainwaves, so in his brain he's saying, "Mulan and Arayla, who cares what his mind's going to be?"
says, Tai, he says, what do you see from here? What conclusion can we draw from here? What's the conclusion? That it doesn't really matter what Machshava is. What you're thinking about doesn't really matter. The only thing that really matters is what you said. That's the bottom line. Is what you said, that's all that matters. So Tachos, we put on the tape, and we play back, what did the guy say? And what did he say, my guy? He said, only said, he only said, all right, and therefore, it's a problem. Now, maybe we could say it at the end of the day, maybe we could salvage it and call it, it's a method of Tulsa, it's a deep of Tulsa. Okay, so when we learn things of Tulsa, the Dharma Shul try to figure out what we can do to have the same discouragement for the guy. Try to save him a trip back from Pesach Sheni. Okay, but we'll try to help him. But if putting aside the issue of Tulsa, he blew it because we only care about what he says. The place says, we can now extrapolate from this the call of Darkula. We know what the word Machshava means. Chazal speaking about Machshava, Machshava, Machshava. And is that clear? You see clear from this Gemara that the word Machshava doesn't really mean Yisrael, it means Dibur. So this is going to have ramifications for all the Beis Shammai people in Shlichus Yad. This is going to have ramifications for Hafashas Chuvah and Machshava. Who knows how far we're going to be able to go with this thesis. But this is clear as day, Sistasis, that Machshava does really Machshava.
I don't understand. Why can't you just say that Tosfos is only saying that we only care about what he says when he says something? That doesn't mean that we never care about Machshava.
Oh, so it is clear as day that the Rishonim disagree with Tosfos. There are Rishonim who take the Gemara of Machshava B'Kachim very literally. The Rishonim say B'Feirish. Sefer Chinuch say B'Feirish. Machshava means Machshava B'Kachim. The Rambam doesn't say it B'Feirish, but the Rambam never says a word about Dibur. The Rambam speaks 25 different problems about the Hilchos Machshava B'Kachim and doesn't mention the necessity for Dibur. Okay? So, there are Rishonim who disagree. There's no question that there are Rishonim who disagree. It's not a question about it. The Rishonim disagree with this. But basically, just a reminder, I know maybe some people weren't around the first when we had that introduction that Sunday in the Skycast. It's just a reminder, Chayk V'lo Yavar, there is no cell phones on and nobody's texting during shiur. Anyone has to text, please go out and do it outside. I have no problems if you go outside, but please, in shiur, it's Chayk V'lo Yavar.
But what I was meaning, even according to Tosfos, why can't you just say that because he said something? Did he say something in this case?
You tell me, did he?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Could he said something?
Yeah, so new. So, oh yeah, he said real.
Again. So Tosfos, we heard what Tosfos said. Tosfos said that no problem. Everything depends upon Dibur. And we see Rishonim who are sitting in back. No problem. It's a double portion that Dibur is not necessary. Machshava is good enough. So Moshe is asking me, I don't understand, what will the Rishonim do? But Tosfos is right. What's the answer? But the answer is Poshut. Avada and Avada. Machshava is good enough. Machshava. If a guy starts to talk, he doesn't want to go down the route of Machshava. He's trying to express himself in words, so then, Kuliyama, like Pligi, Machshava is not going to work. Machshava only works if you want it to work. But if you plan on doing Derech Dibur, Zevin, now you see from here that your Machshava is not a Machshava. You yourself have a guy that you don't want your Machshava to work. If you want your Machshava to work, what are you opening your big mouth for? From the fact that you're opening your mouth and you're talking, you're saying, you're hearing Nuchem Zubins, and you're screaming out there, right? You're Megala, that the route that you want to go down is the route of Dibur. So that's exactly what the Gemara Pesachim says. So Abba Zoi, if so, that you're going down the route of Dibur, so we're not going to be Mesiaches to what you thought. But if you wouldn't have opened up your mouth, if you would have just thought, that would have been, we would have dealt with your Machshava. We would have asked you, what were you thinking at the time? So at the end of the day, the Gemara Pesachim tells us, but all their eggs in Tosfos, convinced that's the right Bush in Latshuva, that Machshava really means Dibur, the Rishonim were not buying into that. So Rabbi Zai, we have three sugyas so far. We have a sugya of Truma, that's our sugya. We have a sugya of Shlichus Yad, at least Beis Shammai sugya. We have a sugya of Tzul Machshav B'Kachim. And we don't have an absolute clear answer yet what the word Machshava means. When it comes to Truma, we thought we knew what it meant. We were pointing in a certain direction as to what it meant.
tells us that a couple of rayas were meant, but we deflected those rayas. We salvaged the other Pshat and Rashi. When it came to Beis Shammai, the little that we had going on with Rashi himself, back and forth, not clear what Moshe Rabbeinu means. When it comes to Kodshim, some places thought they were convinced us, but now we're hesitating. We're not even sure that that's a convincing argument, even according to Tosfos. So where do we go from here? So we have to go to a fourth area of halacha. But here we're even more in the dark, because here the Gemara doesn't even really use the phrase Makshava. We're trying to extrapolate. And we come to a statement that appears in the Rosh, everyone saw the Maamar Kamos, the Rosh Hilchos Sefer Torah. Hilchos Sefer Torah and Tefillah and Mezuzah, since they're all found in Maseches Menachos, that's where the Sugyas and the Mishnayos and the Gemara are there. They got it really dark. I got the Mishnayos are talking about different things in Menachos that are Ma'akev, and I'm Ma'akev, and then I kind of start to talk about everything under the sun. But it is Ma'akev, it's not Ma'akev. Okay? So when you start to talk about tefillin and tzitzit, the Torah resists, etc. So in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Rosh quotes the following. The Rosh quotes a suffix from Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch, what about it? It's this. Quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch the following shot. We know that there are many things in halacha that have to be done with Shema. You have to do things in a positive way with Shema. For example, he spoke a little bit about, when you write a get, it has to be the Shema. When you make a pair of tzitzis, so these certain parts of the making of the tzitzis have to be lishma. You write a sefer Torah, it's lishma. You write tefillin, lishma. A lot of things in halacha for lishma. Certain things don't have to be lishma. Hopefully those will be with us next year for sukkah. So we'll learn machalik zat tanoim, whether the siyas of sukkah has to be lishma. Certain things for sure don't have to be lishma, etc. But within those areas of halacha, from sukkah, have to be done lishma. So Ben Baruch has the following shayla, the following sefer. Wants to know, what do I have to do to make something lishma? I'm about to write a get. I'm about to prepare the wool for the tzitzis. What exactly do I have to do? Do I have to verbalize it? Do I have to say, hini mukhazim l'shaim, matzas mitzvah, l'shaim, tzitzis, l'shaim, get? Do I have to do that? Well, I don't have to scream out. Thinking. I know I'm making tzitzis. I know I'm writing a get. I'm blocking my tefillin. I know I'm writing a tzitzis. The moment I'm thinking that good enough. So what does the halacha require to be called a machshavas lishma? Does the lishma require a dibur, or does lishma suffice with just a machshava? A suffix in Rebbeinu Baruch, Rebbeinu Baruch's not the natural with the dibur. Rebbeinu Baruch begins to take us on a tour through Shas, and he says, well, you know what? Let's look around and see. What do other areas of halacha look like? So the first place Rebbeinu Baruch takes us is to where? It's the psul in Kachim. Because by Kachim, we spoke about all the bad machshavas, the peoples, the apostles, shalom, shmaz, all these things, but we forgot to mention the good machshavas. Namely, when you shecht the korban, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to shecht it, la'ovo, l'shem oimu, l'shlom, l'shem shlom, l'shem the korban, l'shem the bayim, etc. You're supposed to have a positive lishma when you shecht the korban. So Rebbeinu Baruch says, well, this whole parasha machshavas korbanos, what is it? Is it dibor or is it machshava? So Rebbeinu Baruch, not surprising, Rebbeinu Baruch was from the side of the Balei HaTosfos, Tamida from the Balei HaTosfos. So Rebbeinu Baruch says, well, by psul machshavas, by psul korbanos, it sounds like what you require is what? It sounds like the psul machshava of korbanos is a dibor. So maybe we can extrapolate and say, well, when you write a get, you require a dibor as well. Maybe when you make tzitzis, you require a dibur as well. When you write a sefer Torah, maybe you need a dibur as well. So that's on one end of the equation. On the other hand, maybe we find other areas of halacha that machshava is sufficient. Maybe shluchos yad, he throws that into the mix. So he says, you know, we're not really sure. Nistafi kai Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch is not quite sure what the din is when you require, whenever the halacha requires the shema. So what does that mean? Does requiring of the shema suffice with machshava? But the requirement of Shema required Dibur. And at the end of the day, it becomes almost a throwback to everything we've been talking about. Well, how does the Torah relate to Machshava in terms of Psulei Karbanos? How does the Torah relate to Machshava by Shlichus Yad? How does the Torah relate to Machshava by Ephrashus Truma? So this may be all one big picture. Or maybe not one picture. Maybe the standards are different in different places. So Rebbeinu Baruch kind of throws his hands up. He's not quite sure what the din is. Does anyone have any idea how we pass the mission?
I'm not sure, but do we say something like, no one ever ties tzitzis, just stam?
Okay, so that's so a whole other ball. I was referring to Gemara of Mizvachim Dabez, it's called stam kavan l'shma. If a person is blank, The guy's, you know, it's like he's davening shachar. It's not thinking anything. He's not thinking anything bad, not thinking anything good. He's still asleep. The guy sitting in the basement, he's not thinking about the taisa, he's not thinking about anything. His mind is on freeze. So would you say stam kavanah l'shma? Nah, that's a whole nother sugya. So anyone have any idea we paskin? Rebbe Bach wasn't sure. He said, didn't want, he said, not didn't the rabbanah, he said, didn't the raisa. He gets the independence, the Torah, the Tzvum is going to depend on this, so most probably what are we going to do? Probably be machmas. So we're going to insist before we write gittin. We insist on saying l'shma l'shem gerushin. Before we big matzahs, anyone big matzahs? What are they screaming out? L'shem, that's the mitzvah. Nobody likes to rely on just machshava today. So we want to be machmas in the shaila to require mamash a real bona fide dibur. Mishnah Berurah, you know, Chassidus writes that we're not sure that you need dibur. Let's not forget even a bit of baruch. Wasn't sure that he did, but he was suffering. Not sure. It's not true. The other Mishnah Berurah writes that sometimes if you have another suffix, another shadow involved, so maybe we have a right to be made a little bit of like a space faker. And when they did, remember the tzitzis, the Mishnah Berurah invokes this. There are certain parts of the tzitzis making process that we're not even sure require the shema altogether. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim that the gedilah tasa l'chos, and l'chos means like baget, l'chos of law means l'shma. You make tzitzis, you have to make the tzitzis l'shma. So what does that mean when you make tzitzis? What do the words mean when you make tzitzis? So the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, Masechta Benachos, that the tviyas achutin, the spinning of the wool, so you take a big piece of wool, clean it up, and then you turn it into strings, that process of tviyah, that tviyah requires l'shma, that's for sure. We pass it for sure, tviyah requires l'shma. What about when I take the strings and I put them into the holes, and I tie the knots, and I go twirling around, and I, what we would call colloquially today, I'm making tzitzis. I'm having a tzitzis making, project in camp this afternoon. So is that called making tzitzis also? That's machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh. So the Rambam holds that the tliyas achutin, the putting of the strings into the baggage, which is the more common shot for us. For us, most of us are not spinning our own wool. So for us, when we talk about requiring the shema by tzitzis, we're talking about sticking the strings in and tying the knots and the cords going around. So the Rambam sheet happens to be that part of the making of tzitzis does not require l'shma, and the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, no, even that part requires l'shma as well. So there the Mishnah Berurah writes that l'chad chila, when we make tzitzis avad, of course, we're going to try to do it l'shma, and when we say l'shma, we verbalize it, we articulate it, we say it verbally. But push comes to shove, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you did a tviyas achutin without actually spelling it out, then you're really in hot water. Because then you have tzitzis that are suffering their eyes, and what are the kosher or not. So we're not going to advocate such kashrus for tzitzis. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you forgot to say l'shma by the putting of the strings in, as long as you had in mind l'shma, so maybe it's hashtipel spek speka. Maybe the Rambam's right that you don't need l'shma altogether by tviyas achutin. And even according to the Rosh, that you need the Shema, there's a quote that maybe a bit of Bach, one sour bit of Bach, maybe half the Rishonim are right, that you don't really even need Bach, you don't even need Dibur in the first place. So again, we're not 100% sure what the din is, but we're going to err on the side of caution. So according to Ben Baruch, the whole Shiloh, the whole issue about what the status of the Shema is by mitzvahs, which is the most lemais of all this, the truma part is not so relevant l'maisa, and the kosher part, unfortunately, is not relevant l'maisa, and the shittus yad part is according to Bishami anyway not relevant for us l'maisa. So the only part of this whole discussion that really plays out in Shulchan Aruch is vis-a-vis mitzvahs, following the lines of Rabbeinu Baruch that we can extrapolate to some degree. The problem is Rabbeinu Baruch himself concedes that the answer is not always the same in every area. Some areas maybe do the Shema, some areas we don't do the Shema, so it's not always so clear. Yeah.
Could be a
chamar
also did the kula, if he's a kohen and gives a get that was written.
Right, so we would say it's a suffix get, right? We would probably say that that's a suffix that writes the other way, right? Right. So if he's given a get, he's a kohen, he better make sure he gets the get right.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what you would get out of the kula. Why can't you just you can be mavar? Now you just retie the thing, l'shma. No,
just, you mean you could untie the whole thing and redo it over again if you want to? So Mr. Bruce saying, you want a little mice? It's a kosher. It's kosher. He thinks that
so he wouldn't even ask. He wouldn't even say retie it.
Mr. Bruce says that he thinks that you have a right to do it. Says that Mikra din is, you know, it's a good sphinx maker. He thinks that Mikra din, you want to be machmir on time, isn't it? But he says that Mikra din, he thought it would be okay. So again, so we all started, it all started with the sugya of machshava by truma. And how do we get onto Machshava Truma? Because we're trying to figure out the Shaka Tai back and forth in terms of the relationship between Truma, Gittin, and Kiddushin. Can you derive one from another? And the Gemara threw out this curveball called B'machshava, and we're not quite sure what the word Machshava means. Again, for our purposes of Asugi, it doesn't make much of a difference, because whether it's Diva or literal Machshava, it's less than Gittin and Kiddushin. Gittin and Kiddushin is neither of the two. So for our purposes, either way, either Pshat suffices. In terms of understanding the sugya, how it plays out with all the different areas of halacha, so that's a fundamental machlokes. Again, 2 days in Rashi, how it's playing out in other areas as well. Okay, you guys ready to test? You guys ready to do the test? Finished test already?
We don't have the last test.